The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Week 5 in the NFL is here. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers heading to Chicago to take on the Bears and Nick Foles. The last time Brady and Foles faced off, it was in a Super Bowl, so the stakes not quite as high tonight. But so much to look out for. We're getting you ready for all of it, and we're going to start with a matchup to watch in this one. Marcus Spears, you're first.
Yes, Bucs front seven. Listen, a lot of underknown things about these guys. I've talked about these linebackers with Lavonte David and Devin White, but look at Ndamukong Suh and Vita Vea and Shaq Barrett and Golston, Pierre Paul. These guys are playing lights out. They're getting after the quarterback and not having to bring pressure to get pressure on the quarterback.
I don't know. I'm going to have to follow you up with this one, Marcus, because you talked about that defense, and I grabbed Nick Foles, who's going to have to figure out how to get some points on that defense. He struggled last week when he came in as a starting quarterback. If the Bears have any chance at all to win this football game, he must not turn the football over.
I'm watching Tom Brady's ball placement. This Bears secondary makes you earn every single yard through the air. So there's going to be competitive throws. There's going to have to be competitive catches. I expect Tampa to utilize a bunch of play-action pass because Chris Godwin not playing in this football game will matter, and you can get after Chicago in the pass game with play-action. But look at these plays. These DBs are all over receivers. They're going to have to make some contested catches. Brady's going to have to be great with his ball placement.
And we've got the injuries in Tampa with the Buccaneers tonight, or Chicago as the Buccaneers play the Bears. We have Chris Godwin already been ruled out for the Buccaneers. Justin Watson's been ruled out. LeSean McCoy's been ruled out. Leonard Fournette is listed doubtful tonight. Mike Evans will be tested pregame. They're hoping he will go, and they do think Scotty Miller will go, but it's not the regular offense for the Buccaneers tonight as they open Week 5 in Chicago against the Bears in a matchup of 3-1 teams.
Welcome to NFL Live. You just saw Adam Schefter. We'll get into those injuries more. Dan Orlovsky's here. Keyshawn Johnson is there. Marcus Spears, as always, the big swagoo ready to go. We're talking Bucks Bears. We're also going to show you why the Cowboys' defensive issues aren't just effort-based. There's some scheme problems. But
what is going on
we
here?
Go with our top story. And, Schefter, I'm going to tell you what's going on here because another Tennessee Titan tested positive for COVID-19 today, bringing the total number of positive COVID cases to 23 on their team. Shefty, what is the latest with this situation in Tennessee?
Laura, the latest is that the Titans just added Mecole Pruitt and a practice squad defensive back, Breon Borders, to the list. That now gives them, at this point in time, 23 positive tests since September 24th. There have been three players, including Corey Davis, added to the reserve COVID-19 list since yesterday in the last 24 hours. Their facility still is not open. The team is under investigation. We're waiting to see whether they can play the game against the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. You see the timeline here, the outbreak timeline in terms of what Tennessee has been dealing with in recent days. I still think the team is preparing as if there will be a game this week against the Buffalo Bills. We're waiting to see whether the game will be Sunday, whether it'll be Monday, whether it'll be Tuesday. Keep in mind the Buffalo Bills, who are scheduled to host the Titans here, play next Thursday night against the Kansas City Chiefs. And being that they play the Chiefs next Thursday, they may have to move back that game to Saturday or something like that. So there's a lot that is uncertain and fluid at this point in time.
Yeah, we'll continue to keep an eye on that with Shefty. Dan, what is your reaction to hearing everything that you've heard about what's going on with the Tennessee Titans?
Tennessee should forfeit this game. I mean, do what you have to do what you want to do. If you wanted to play in the football game, then you had to stay away from each other. What did you think? They closed down the facility just so you guys could head to an LA Fitness and work out on your own? And so if I'm a Buffalo Bills player, I want no part of this football game. I don't want you to risk me contracting the virus and then potentially ruining my season when I've done everything the right way. And then the NFL needs to step in as well because we know it takes one. It just takes one person to get it, and then it could become a spread firestorm. So Tennessee has to forfeit this football game.
Yeah, overall, the NFL doing a very strong job in keeping the cases down, but this is a case study that's different. We'll continue to monitor that story, but we've got other news to get to. And this breaking news coming our way just moments ago in L.A., the Chargers and Anthony Lynn naming Justin Herbert the starter and saying that he has won this job. He will remain the starter over Tyrod Taylor. Just moments ago, as I mentioned, Anthony Lynn explaining all of it. Take a listen.
I'll go ahead and start with this statement. I want to get this out of the way because I know it's going to come up. Okay. Justin Herbert, that young man, he has impressed from the very beginning, you know, throwing him in there and the situation that I threw him in Kansas City. I mean, the ball was in the air when he found out he's going to be the starting quarterback. I just like the way he's handled that situation and everything he's done afterwards. I think he's shown the consistency that you look for, especially in a rookie quarterback. And he made some pretty nice throws, too. Now, he made some hell of a plays. So I think this young man is just going to continually get better. And I know we can win with them. I believe that. We haven't done it yet, but I do believe those wins are coming. I'm only saying this right now because Justin is going to start Monday night in New Orleans, and Justin's going to be our starting quarterback.
All right, so just for further context there, of course, Tyrod Taylor, the starter for the Chargers before, ended up getting punctured in his lung by the team doctor. That's why Justin Herbert was thrown into action all of a sudden, as Anthony Lynn mentioned there. Adam, take us through this move by the Chargers. What more do you know?
It's a situation where Anthony Lynn has backed Tyrod Taylor, but the more people watched Justin Herbert play, the more they were convinced they couldn't keep him on the bench anymore. He just lit it up in Tampa, played very well on the road against a tough Buccaneers defense. He did the same thing the previous 2 weeks in his previous two assignments. Keep in mind, as Anthony Lynn said, he found out he was making his first NFL start as they were kicking off the ball against the defending Super Bowl champs when Tyrod Taylor's lung was punctured. There's an old expression in the NFL, you can't lose a job to injury. Well, we've never heard the expression before, you can't lose a job to injury, especially when your team doctor punctured your lung. But in this particular case, Justin Herbert played so well for this team. And Tyrod Taylor, again, catches the unfortunate break of being in a spot where a team drafts a talented quarterback, like it happened in Cleveland with Baker Mayfield, like it's happened now in Los Angeles with Justin Herbert. Anthony Lynn believed in Justin Herbert. I think there were players on the team, a couple of players who wanted Tyrod Taylor to continue on, and there were a group of players that believed in Justin Herbert. But the talent was inevitable, and now he will make his first Monday Night Football start against the Saints in a game against Drew Brees, who once made his first Monday Night Football start in a game against Brian Griese, who will be in the booth calling the game between Drew Brees and Justin Herbert.
That's crazy. Hey, Shefty, quickly, I'm curious, is Tyrod Taylor healthy if he would need to play?
He is pretty healthy. Look, if he needed to be out there, he could be out there right now. But the fact is, they believe Herbert's played well enough and impressed enough to keep the starting job moving forward.
Yeah, you can't help but feel for Tyrod Taylor. Key, are you okay with Taylor losing his job because of an injury?
I'm really not, but I understand. I don't think players should lose their job due to injury, especially if you're not winning football games. Had they run off three in a row, not a problem. But I understand why they drafted this kid. I had the fortune enough to watch him play at least three times last year, but I've seen him throughout his entire career at the University of Oregon. I watched him at Arizona State struggle. I watched him just murder USC, my school. And I also saw him at the Rose Bowl take care of business, not only running the football, but also throwing it in the air against Wisconsin. So when you look at that, Dan, I kind of saw the same things that the Chargers are seeing now. Big, strong kid, strong arm, can run a little bit, command the huddle. That's impressive. I mean, 72% of his completion percentage right now, impressive.
I applaud Anthony Lynn, because I'm sure this was a very difficult decision, but you did what's right for your football team. Like, in the NFL, you earn the right to be on the field, and it's a meritocracy. I remember Tony Romo saying that about Dak Prescott when he came in and played so well. It was like, we can't take him off the field. He gives our football team life. The biggest thing for Justin Herbert right now is he's become a playmaker. And that's a big deal in the NFL at the quarterback spot right now for young players. Be a playmaker. They've pushed both Kansas City and Tampa Bay to the brink. And one of the big reasons why is because of Justin Herbert. So I'm sure this was a difficult decision, but it is the right one, and I applaud Anthony Lynn for doing so.
Marcus, you heard Shefty saying there that some players might have still wanted Tyrod Taylor to have a chance. Some players wanted Justin Herbert to continue to be the starter. What are your thoughts on this whole situation?
Well, it's just difficult. I'm sure for the players that wanted Tyrod to start, they've also acknowledged that Justin Herbert played well, but it's just unfortunate for Tyrod to technically lose his starting job this way. Obviously, they drafted Justin Herbert to be the future, and Tyrod knew as well as everybody else knew that eventually the day would come. But based on what we watched the last three games, I'm with Key and Dan. You can't deny the film. Look, football has always been about your resume, and your resume is what you put on film. And there was no way Anthony Lynn or this Chargers coaching staff could deny the fact that the young man was playing well and playing at a high level against really good teams and going toe-to-toe. Now, unfortunately for Tyrod, he's back in another cycle that he's been in for a lot during his career, but he'll bounce back. I know him, a real good dude, strong-headed, he'll be fine.
Yeah, one of the things that was questioned in college for Justin Herbert was his aggressiveness and his confidence on the field. We've seen that come in full fold at the NFL level. So congratulations to him, no matter how it ended up happening. Week 5 kicks off tonight with Buccaneers at Bears, and it'll mark the first time between Tom Brady and Nick Foles since Super Bowl 52. It also marks the first rematch between Super Bowl starting quarterbacks where both players are on different teams. Who could have seen that coming? Brady enters tonight's game with a 5-0 record against the Bears, holds a 92 QBR when facing Chicago, his highest against any single opponent. On the other side, Nick Foles is still searching for his first win as a starting quarterback since leaving Philadelphia. He's lost 6 straight starts dating back to the 2018 playoffs. Just over 4 hours till kickoff here at the Domino's pregame headquarters. And for more on tonight's game, let's bring in Michelle Steele from Chicago. Michelle, Foles has played just one game as a starting quarterback for the Bears. Is there already pressure mounting, though, for him to perform?
Tom Brady has talked in the past about how that loss to the Philadelphia Eagles and Nick Foles a few seasons ago in the Super Bowl still stings, so he may have a little extra motivation today. But between these two quarterbacks, there's no question it's Nick Foles who's under more pressure, certainly to turn things around for this Chicago Bears offense. Now, of course, he took over as the full-time starter after Mitchell Trubisky was benched last week against the Indianapolis Colts, and things didn't go well. He only saw the end zone once. What Matt Nagy has kept on saying this week is he has to calibrate this offense to the things that Nick Foles does well. Of course, the plays that worked for Trubisky aren't necessarily the ones that will work for Foles. Foles also reminded us that, you know what, it takes time to develop these relationships with his teammates, but the Bears don't have much time. It's a short week.
Thanks, Michelle. So, Dan, one of the things that people were talking about last week is that Bucs defense, especially their secondary against the Chargers, maybe not looking up to snuff. But why shouldn't we read too much into that?
Because that's not who they are. Listen, they gave up those two big bombs to Justin Herbert, and first of all, they were phenomenal throws, a big ball play action that goes over the top of their heads when they don't cover it the right way and they let maybe an unknown receiver go over the top, and then 3rd and 8, all out pressure, a guy just gets beat to a perfect throw. But that's not who they are. Sean Murphy Bunting and Carlton Davis and Winfield Jr., like, this is a top 3 or 4 secondary in the NFL, and they're going to challenge Chicago. If you looked at Chicago last week with Nick Foles, one, to Michelle's point, like, they were trying to figure out who they were with Nick Foles. Two, they don't really have anybody that scares you. Outside of Allen Robinson, there's no one that you go as in a secondary like, oh, we got to really pay attention to that guy. And then there's way too many. There was probably 4 times last week where guys are doing separate things on the same play. So they got to tonight, if they have any chance in their pass game, they got to be on the same page and execute really well. But I just think this Tampa Bay secondary is way too good going against the Chicago skill players.
I think all this starts with Todd Bowles, defensive coordinator. I think when you look at what that defense is capable of doing, everywhere Todd has been as a defensive coordinator, defense has been on fire. His last 2 stops as a defensive coordinator, you talk about the Arizona Cardinals prior to the head coaching job of the New York Jets, they were 4th in defense efficiency, 5th in points per game. That's big time. Now you look at the Tampa Bay Bucs, he has them at 8th in points per game, 4th in yardage, they're giving them 23 points a game, and 6th in defensive efficiency. That's saying something. This is the type of defensive coordinator you go out and hire when you want fire defense. And that is why he's the guy on the sidelines, and you see what this defense is all about.
Yeah, Marcus, you are a big fan of this Bucs defense, too. Why? Tell us something with the tape.
Because the front 7 is riddled with playmakers. Mm-hmm. And they do a tremendous job as far as getting to the quarterback with 4. When they bring pressure, they have 2 linebackers that can absolutely flat out get it in Lavonte David and Devin White. And obviously we know how impressive Shaq Barrett was last year, but he's picked up where he's left off. A lot of people forgot that this guy was the sack leader in the NFL last year. When you look at this front 7 from a personnel standpoint, Levante David here making a play. Ndamukong Suh, Vita Vea, Shaq Barrett, Golston. You talk about Jason Pierre-Paul and these two linebackers. Dan just mentioned the secondary. When you can line up, and y'all going to get tired of me saying this, when you can line up with seven guys and stop the run, you are a really good defense, and that's what Tampa can do. They have penetrators in Ndamukong Suh and Golston. They have the big physical shade technique that plays over the center in Vita Vea, and they have Levante David and Devin White that can get east and west, north and south, and when they come on blitzes, they very rarely get blocked. They are built the right way. They have a championship build as a defense, especially if they continue on this path that they're on.
Yeah, Marcus, your seven men in the box stop the run thing is a really good point, because that then leaves obviously four in coverage. Tampa Bay will play man or they'll play zone. And I'm telling you, they're very good in both of them. So to Todd Bowles' credit, like, that gives him the ton of flexibility to be like, you know what, we're going to bring five on this play. We'll bring six on this play. We'll only bring four on this play, because they can kind of dictate to an offense. And you're thinking about the Bears tonight, no Tariq Cohen. So even in their run game, that's going to hinder them a little bit. But then in the pass game, like, I would have tried to find matchups with Tariq Cohen on those linebackers that Marcus mentioned in the pass game. He's not playing tonight. And so Todd Bowles is going to go, all right, Nick Foles, I'm going to play coverage on you with our four guys in our secondary. You're not going to run the ball in our front seven, and we will dominate you defensively.
It feels like for the Bears, Khalil Mack has to have a huge night. He's been a little hobbled in practice, but is expected to play. Key, quickly, when you think about Nick Foles, this is not exactly what he wants to see in his second game starting for the Bears against this type of defense. What do you expect out of him tonight?
To be honest with you, I really don't expect a lot. I think they need to protect him, try to get what they can in running the football, and hope and pray that the defense can somehow negate Tom Brady, because he's missing some weapons, and kind of keep the game as close as possible and force a turnover or two. Otherwise, they're going to get run out the building. I'm just keeping it 100.
Yep, thanks for keeping it 100. And also, we do have more updates on those Bucks injuries a little bit later on in the show with Adam Schefter right up to this game.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, so the Cowboys defense is off to a historically bad start this season. They've allowed 146 points, 1,722 yards, and 101 first downs. All of those marks are the most the team has allowed through four games in a season in franchise history. Cowboys safety Xavier Woods doesn't think it's due to a lack of effort in Dallas.
My effort's been good. I mean, in certain plays, some guy, me included, it may be a lack, but overall, the effort is there. We're in the NFL. You don't expect guys to full speed for 70 plays. That's not possible.
All right, Marcus Spears, you ever hear a player talk like that about effort, especially publicly?
No, you're not ever supposed to talk about it publicly. And I think I don't want to get too psychological here, but I hope Xavier Woods was speaking in the vein in which I think he was, talking about just getting tired and not being able to go as fast as you were going at the beginning of the game, but still in your mind giving maximum effort. I played on the D-line for 9 years. You don't give maximum effort, you're gonna have to move your family to a smaller crib, and your body might be broke up by the time the game over with. So, look, I'm going to give Xavier Woods benefit of the doubt, but that doesn't mean other people should, and that doesn't mean he shouldn't be excoriated for what he said, because right now, based on what we've been watching with the Cowboys, a part of your effort is the issue as far as getting to the ball and running to the ball when plays are away from you. So I'm going to leave that to some other people on the set to talk about.
Well, I've been wrestling with this now for the last couple hours, man, because I'm like, you got to be going 100 miles an hour to even be on the team. I understand 70 plays is a lot. Maybe your body doesn't allow you to go full speed all the time. I get it. I understand that. But your mind should be telling you you've got to go 100 miles an hour every single play. Because if I'm a teammate and I'm giving max effort and I look at you and you're not giving max effort, I'm going to have a problem with you. I mean, I played on a team with one of the top defenses in NFL history. And 11 hats was to the ball in Tampa Bay every single time, regardless if they was on the other side of the field or not. So I don't know. I'm like Marcus, man. I just hope that the word, he chose the wrong word. I just hope that's the case.
So we've all watched the tape, right? We've talked about it this week that there is a lack of effort on tape. Man, what are we trying to justify here? Like Xavier Woods' words were, certain plays, some guys, myself included, may be a lack of effort. There's a big difference between full speed and full effort. And you get what you tolerate. Dude, you got 16 shots at this. 16.
But see, you said effort, right, Dan?
He said effort.
No, I'm saying you repeated that. So now you done changed my mind again. Now you got me tripping because if he's not giving maximum effort, and I'm watching it on tape, and I'm sitting there on all 22s, and I'm in the room with the red dot.
Right.
And you're not giving maximum effort.
You
then
can't
I'm
be on the field.
I got a real problem with
and
you.
If I'm a leader down in Dallas, if I'm Dak Prescott, like I do have to have a meeting, and I do have to talk about this and go, guys, this isn't acceptable. Like we do have to play with full effort. We're 1-3. We can't. Like we're not playing well, and the players, talent-wise on defense, maybe aren't up to par. I have to be able to bank on your effort. I'm not expecting you to be perfect in your execution. I'm not expecting you to be perfect in your dominance on that play. But I have to expect for you to play as hard as you can because I'm going to. If I'm Dak Prescott, guys, I'm going to play as hard as I can.
Maybe he was looking for the word loaf. We loaf. We get some loafs.
That's not acceptable either.
I know, but guys would loaf. You know how that goes because they're tired and stuff like that. But who's not giving effort?
You get 16 games. Man. You get 16 games.
It's interesting, guys, because they are the Dallas Cowboys, so that's a big reason why we're sitting here analyzing every single thing that comes out of everybody's mouths, and they are 1-3. Marcus, though, you don't think it's just an effort issue. What else is wrong with this Cowboys defense right now?
No, it's a new scheme with Mike Nolan, and these guys that are on this roster were brought in to play in a 4-3 scheme with Rod Marinelli and get upfield and create pressure, and now they playing a bit slow and a bit confused. It's not to make an excuse for the effort. Look, football is a simple game. You look at the center. All right, how many guys do they have over here? How many guys do they have over here? Most of the time, they running to the side of where most of the blockers are. Dallas right now is playing confused. They're playing slow, and a lot of guys are out of technique because they are not built to play this type of football right now.
Yeah, Marcus Spears. Dan Orlovsky is actually giving you a round of applause over here. Hey, new on it.
I just learned something. That's a good tape.
Dan over here, the tape king. All right, new on NFL
the
Live from
man.
Our own Ed Werder from a Cowboys source on the potential that left tackle Tyron Smith will be placed on IR with a neck injury and maybe has played his final snap of 2020. Out for the season is an option. So let me clarify here, not saying yet that he is. Smith is officially out for the season, but he has experienced a setback with his neck injury, and so that is what they are considering potentially. Dan, when this news came down just a couple minutes ago, we were kind of looking at each other. You were like, "Woo, man, that's a
bad.
Lot."
Yeah, okay, that's, so what that's, do you think? That's bad news. I mean, first of all, you can look at the performance of strictly Dak Prescott when he plays with Tyron Smith and when Tyron Smith does not play. It is a huge drop-off. And now you're talking about if he goes on IR, Lyle Collins is on IR as well. So you're back-to-back, your bookend tackles on IR. You lost Travis Frederick to retirement. Looney might be hurt. So this offensive line is being decimated. And we all know this. This offense has to carry this football team. Without Tyron Smith, they cannot.
Yeah, this is a totally different situation without Smith in the lineup. When you look at the situation with the Dallas Cowboys, for the last 6 years or so, they were one of the best offensive lines in football. Now, who's going to play? What are they going to do? Your left tackle's gone, right tackle's gone. And I'm sure if I'm Dak Prescott, I'm a little worried about that.
I mean, with that being said, guys, too, like, think about the cap strain on this team now. That's where all that money was, in the offensive line. Now you're playing with guys with a quarterback that's playing on a one-year deal and trying to figure out how you can get this season turned around. Look, Tyron Smith has been injured for a while. I wouldn't be shocked if he contemplated hanging it up because he's been hurt quite a bit over the past few years. But this is just a devastating blow. Dallas cannot afford any more bad news because it is turning into one of those piece-by-piece patchwork type situations up front on their offensive line.
You feel for Dak Prescott, who is trying to make some money this year and prove his worth as well. Now his O-line is decimated by injury. Time for some quick reads with the guys. Hey, Dan, Lamar Jackson missing his second straight practice, something he's never done in his career in the NFL. How concerned are you?
I'm definitely a little bit concerned. Like, this is his second season as a full-time starter. We're a month into the year, and he misses a second straight practice with a knee. And so this is a guy that we've talked about, an amazing player, but takes some hits. And so this is concerning to me that not only is he only going to get one day of practice this week, but this early on in the season, he's got to miss back-to-back practices.
We'll keep an eye on that. Marcus, Chase Young back at practice today. How excited are you to see him back out on the field?
Great news for the Washington football team. He started off this season very strong, was showing how dominant of a force he has the potential to become. And for him, I'm sure, it's exciting to get back on the field, especially with the changes that's going on in Washington. He wants to continue to prove that he's going to be a dominant rusher and a dominant defender in this league for a long time.
Big matchup in the state of Pennsylvania this weekend between the Steelers and Eagles. ESPN's Football Power Index has Pittsburgh as the heavy favorite, giving them a 68% chance to win this weekend against the Eagles. But after having their bye moved up last week because of COVID, Ben Roethlisberger has some concerns. Listen to this.
I don't think they'll consider forfeiting our game. And, of course, we got the short end of the stick.
When one team, kind of like as you mentioned with the Titans, and I'm not saying that we know all the details or whatever, but if one team's blunders, another team's just like misfortune, kind of like how Ben mentioned, like felt like we got the short end of the stick. Yeah, I feel that. I feel the same way.
Key, what do you think about the Steelers complaining here?
Well, look, first of all, it's coming from Big Ben, so I'm gonna leave it at that. And when you think about it, it's not like the Tennessee Titans decided, oh, we're going to go out and get COVID, and now we can move our game to November 7th. I mean, stop, though. Just stop. I mean, I understand you want your bye, you want to be able to have the rest, but if you can't play 13 straight games in this league without a bye, then I don't know. I don't know what else to say. I really don't.
It was already going to be a weird year no matter what. Everyone kind of knew that going in. Let's get to the actual matchup on the field, though, against the Eagles. Marcus, does it feel like Wentz has to be perfect to get this win?
Yeah, he does, Lauren. And look, perfect in terms of him being the best player on the field. Carson Wentz is going to have to be the best football player on the field in order for this team to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. And yes, he has some defensive help up front, but the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to blitz you. They are going to try to force you into turnovers. And Cam Hayward and J.J. Watt and Bud Dupree and all of those guys on that defensive front will be hunting Carson Wentz. Listen, Pittsburgh wants to do two things defensively, and I've watched them do this for years. They want to confuse and rush quarterbacks with their safeties, strong safeties, and up front they want to dominate and annihilate you in the run game. That's their MO. That's been their calling card for years. Carson Wentz has struggled, as we've seen, at big times in this season. He's going to have to play his best game so far, and he's going to have to justify that $100 million guy that we all think he has the potential to be.
Yeah, the key to this football game, Marcus, to your point, is how the Eagles handle their pressure. And it's all about 28. I mean, Mike Hilton is the best blitzing nickel in football right now. The Pittsburgh Steelers defense is the best, the biggest, the baddest blitzing group in the NFL. And so when you're playing a team that's going to blitz you, it's really two things. Do you protect yourself or do you try to hurt them? And the Eagles, if they're going to win, you got to go try and hurt this pressure. Again, this is a group with the best nickel blitzer in football. You can't just go into it thinking, Eagles, as long as we protect ourselves, we can win. No, you better figure out when it's coming, where it's coming from, and try to gut it. That is the only chance for you to win this football game. So, Marcus, you're right. Like, it's going to have to be Carson Wentz's best game, but it also has to be Doug Peterson's. It also has to be their plan of how they're going to attack this pressure out of Pittsburgh. If they do that, If they do that and their D-line dominates, the Eagles will win this game.
Yeah, it's interesting because we did see, Dan, that Peterson and Wentz got a little bit more comfortable in their last game and felt like even taking some risks, like going for two earlier in the game. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Can I ask Dan, question?
What's up?
Who is going to have to be – who is going to need to be the outlet for Carson Wentz when that pressure comes? Is that Ertz? Is that one of these receivers? Who else needs to have a day?
So when Pittsburgh brings their pressure, they're kind of vulnerable to seams. You could take shots downfield or vulnerable to the seams. So it's going to be Ertz down the seams. It's going to be Greg Ward bending a little bit. Don't be surprised if Fulgham takes a bigger step forward. And Miles Sanders, the Eagles do a good job of getting their back going vertical. You got to hurt that blitz down the seams with Ertz, Miles Sanders, and Greg Ward.
You do understand Pittsburgh going to win this game, right, Dan?
Well,
we'll see.
Probably. Hey, the jury's still out on whose question was better, mine or Marcus's, because I never asked mine. The Steelers are seeking their first 4-0 start since 1979. And,
in fact,
each of the last two instances when the Steelers started 4-0, it was 78 and 79. They went on to win the Super Bowl those
years.
Ooh,
Nuggets.
Something to pay attention to.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mike Evans and Tom Brady have already connected on 5 touchdowns this season. That's tied for the most in the NFL. Only 2 sets of duos have connected on a touchdown in every game this season, Evans and Brady, and Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. Adam Schefter back with us here. What do you know, Schefty, about Mike Evans' status for the game tonight?
Laura, I think that they're cautiously optimistic, but they're not going to make any decisions about his status until they watch him warm up in pregame warmups tonight. And keep in mind, he didn't practice all week long due to the ankle injury. And typically, we have situations where Bruce Arians, the Buccaneers head coach, does not let his players play if they don't practice. And he didn't practice, but they're already missing Chris Godwin. They do hope and think that they'll have Scotty Miller back, who's also questionable tonight. And the question will be on Evans. Again, I think they're hopeful. I think they're optimistic. But I do think they want to see him pregame before they make any final determination about whether Mike Evans plays and is active tonight.
Yeah, Tom Brady's going to be like, come on, man, let's make sure you're active. 4 of Mike Evans' 5 touchdowns this season have come in the red zone. Not something new for the former Aggie. Since entering the league in 2014, he's recorded 30 touchdown receptions in the red zone, and that's 4th most in the league over that span. How about this story from Jenna Lane on ESPN.com today? Back in week 1, Brady, of course, threw 2 interceptions, including this back shoulder attempt to Mike Evans. The following Friday in practice, Evans stood in the back corner of the end zone and caught 50 back shoulder passes from Brady. Flash forward to the following game against the Carolina Panthers. The two connected for this touchdown on, you guessed it, a back shoulder throw. So practice really playing in for them. Hey, Brady will be missing some key members of this offense. O.J. Howard, Chris Godwin, LeSean McCoy, they're all out tonight. Leonard Fournette is doubtful. How big of a concern is this for you?
It's a bit of a concern. Listen, I know we've talked about the Bucs and Nick Foles. Chicago has some dudes on defense now, and up front, especially with Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn, Akeem Hicks, these guys can get after Brady, and we all know Brady for getting the ball out of his hands quickly. He's just identifying those weapons. This may bode well for him as the season goes along. We've seen Tom Brady throughout his career bring guys on the scene that we had no idea about, and that's Scotty Miller right now, in order to have operation and have success offensively. Obviously, you miss a lot with these guys with the potential to being out. But I would be interested to see which newcomer will have Johnson, Mickens, which newcomer in this wide receiver group, just in case Mike Evans and Scotty Miller can't play.
All right, let's get to one more thing before we go. And for that, we're getting to some game picks. We're going right back to you, Marcus. Who are you taking tonight, Bucks or Bears?
I'm taking the Bucks 34-21 over the Bears. I believe Tom Brady gets it going. Listen, I have a lot of faith in this team, and I also believe that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense turns Nick Foles over at least twice in this football game.
I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as well, but this would be a good football game. I'm going to take them 20-13. I actually think it's going to be because of Ronald Jones. This Bears defense, especially the linebackers, have not been as good as expected this year. I think the Bucs can get after them in the run game, really lean on them, use motion to displace some people. Ronald Jones would be the reason the Bucs win this football game tonight.
I think it's getting ready to be a full sweep, fellas. I'm going with the Bucs, 35-17. Look, when I look at this, maybe Mike Evans is in, maybe Mike Evans is not, but I know one guy that's in, that's Gronkowski. It's going to be a big night for him. Tom Brady and him are going to hook up big time against this defense.
I like it, Key. We kind of been waiting for that. All right, I'm taking the Bucs as well, 24-20 to win this one. And I think Ronald Jones is going to have a big night. In fact, like you said, Dan, I think he'll end up rushing for over 100 yards. He did that three times against the Bears. Also, watch Keyshawn Vaughn, the other running back that we should see play a lot in this game. Dynamic playmaker out of Vanderbilt. I think he's going to do something big in this game as well. And, guys, I wasn't lying about the fact that Key forgot his shirt and Dan forgot his tie. Dan's, whose tie is that that you're wearing?
Hopefully he's not watching. It's one of the Hasselbacks. It's probably Matt's. Tim doesn't have nearly this style.
We found a random tie here on the ESPN campus, and it belongs to one of the Hasselbacks.
I was trying to figure out why it looked like Dan had went to JCPenney's.
Yeah, it's ugly as hell.
That's not fair. It actually is kind of ugly. All right, we'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live. Thanks for tuning in, guys.